Welcome in this special Friday edition of recruiting. We're going to call it the official visit recruiting breakdown. How about that? I'm Jerry Hamilton, joined by CJ Vogel. We're fresh off our airport run today to Bergstrom to help greet the official visitors that flew in for the weekend in Austin. CJ, we have 16 official visitors this weekend in Austin, known official visitors. Let's say that. We saw a few of those guys at the airport. Let's kind of give a position-by-position rundown on, you know, what we've seen, what we kind of know so far. Running back Ricky Stewart, we'll start there on offense. Running back Ricky Stewart, not a big social media guy, scheduled to be in Austin. We haven't seen Ricky, heard from Ricky to this point. Wide receiver, DeCorian Moore. Start with DeCorian Moore. Obviously, DeCorian Moore flew in from Love Field today, as did Colin Simmons last year on his official visit. Other family members are driving down. He flew with his brother today. Other family members, mom, couple other siblings are driving down to Austin where they have family, obviously. But DeCorian Moore was the first guy to arrive via plane for the official visit weekend.
Yeah, I don't think that's by accident either, Jerry. You know, this is the recruitment that you want on campus as long as possible. You want him to see the city as often as he can, and he did earlier this afternoon. He was cruising around downtown Austin, kind of checking out what the city had to offer. Of course, we'll see more of that this weekend when he gets into some of his hosts and players that will be spending a lot of time with him. I look back to Colin Simmons' recruitment a year ago around this time, and who was with them most of that trip? It was Jonte Cook. It was Anthony Hill. I bet that's similar this week as well. It's worth mentioning, it was DeCorian Moore that went out and requested Ryan Wingo to be his host, his player host this weekend for his official visit. Of course, a very, you know, highly touted recruit a year ago for Wingo. He went through a similar recruitment with a number of big-time national programs recruiting him as well. So he's going to get the full, you know, idea of what Austin has to offer this week, as well as the University of Texas. Sarkisian, of course, and Chris Jackson able to sit down, kind of explore what his role in the Texas offense would be like, because there's a number of other prospects at the wide receiver spot on campus as well. And we'll pivot right there to Dalen McCutchen, who made it in right at about 30 minutes after DeCorian Moore did to Austin Bergstrom this morning. He and his family made it in. That'll be Parker Livingstone, who will be in charge of his recruitment as well. Of course, the two Lovejoy wide receivers from a year ago. You have that built-in connection already, Jerry. But tell me a little bit about Kelshon Johnson, because that's another one where Texas is looking to maybe silence some momentum coming out of College Station from a week ago.
Yeah, Kelshon had an opportunity to commit to Texas earlier this spring, did not do it, which was interesting at the time. And look, there was a lot of chatter about A&M taking a big lead in this recruitment last weekend. Steve Sarkisian tried to call him on Sunday. I think Kelshon may have been working out. He didn't get him. I think they did speak later in the week before this visit. Kelshon is, he had car service drive him in from Houston to Austin. He made it to campus around 12:30 or made it to the hotel around 12:30 today with his mom and his little sister. Obviously, so it'll be interesting. Kelshon's going to go to A&M or Texas. I mean, that's the reality of this recruitment right now. He still has an official visit scheduled to USC next weekend. So we'll see if he makes it. I think he's planning to make that visit. But I think, again, this is going to come down to an A&M or Texas decision. Who's going to push harder for him, I think, will be the question. The fourth receiver in Austin right now is Andrew Marsh. Andrew Marsh has confirmed on Texas Football that he is in Austin. He hasn't put anything out on social media as of about 5:30 Friday p.m., but he is in Austin. And, again, it'll be interesting to see out of this group who Texas makes a push for, because outside of the Corey and Moore, because the reality is next week is Jamie French and Kalik Lockett. Marcus Harris no longer visiting. Texas told him they just didn't have a spot. So it comes down to the four receivers this week, the two next week, and then Tanook Hines, who made an official visit last week and who's at Notre Dame this weekend. So next week, no tight ends this week. Last week, there is a tight end. No tight ends this week. They're all going to be next week with a commitment of Amari Winston, Keyote Armstrong, and Nick Towns, who are both at A&M right now, by the way. But let's move to offensive line. I misspoke earlier. The actual first official visitor to make his way to Austin was John Mills on Thursday night, flew in from San Francisco for that longer flight, flew in from San Francisco Thursday night and began his visit a little earlier Friday so he could watch the team workout this morning, as did Lance Jackson. So watch the team workout this morning. So John Mills, CJ, it's Texas Washington. I mean, Florida tried to make a run last weekend, but this is really looks like Texas Washington right now, with Washington making that late run, as you'd expect. We'll be putting everything out, everything into it they can for John Mills, knowing that he's a Texas lean headed in this process. And then, CJ, you have Lamont Rogers and you have Nick Brooks. Lamont Rogers is in Austin with his uncle. His mom was not able, had some family stuff she had to deal with, is not able to make it. She didn't make the A&M trip last week either. But there's Nick Brooks, and you saw Nick Brooks today, CJ, and there's a lot of Nick Brooks to see.
Yeah, you know when you're on the highway, Jerry, and you see like the cars out front that have the way too heavy load, and they're kind of marking the lanes, and then you look over and it's the house on the wheels driving across, taking up two lanes. That's what Nick Brooks reminded me of a little bit. That's a big human being. You know, he looked 6'7", 350, and it was really impressive to see him moving throughout the airport. Of course, both you and I were out there earlier this morning, but that is the definition of a hashtag, the big humans that have become a staple of Kyle Flood and Steve Sarkisian's recruiting at the University of Texas. So we'll see, of course, what this week kind of entails for him. But you can tell he kind of fits that mold of what we've seen in terms of Sarkisian and that staff going after those big guys. He looks very similar to what Cam Williams reminded me of his senior year of high school out of Duncanville. So big time guy as well. And hey, going back to John Mills as well, you know, this is his first time back since April 6th. Yeah. He was on campus before then, January 20th for the junior day as well. So three visits to the University of Texas in this calendar year as well, prior to the official visit. Of course, that marks the third. It'll be really interesting again to see where Texas comes out of this weekend. Washington's making the push. Of course, Texas with a number of guys already in the fold and a couple big-time guys coming in 2020 or the 21st through 23rd. It makes sense to see some movement coming up here with some of these out-of-state offensive linemen out of this weekend. That's what I'll be keeping a close eye on moving out of Saturday, Sunday into Monday.
One of the things we're learning already with the 24 class is Daniel Cruz is a host of visitors. So that's very interesting. So Daniel Cruz is a guy that Texas loves, that energy, that smile, the way he delivers the University of Texas message from a football culture and academic standpoint. He is the host of John Mills this weekend. Trevor Goosby is hosting Lamont Rogers as well. And with Nick Brooks, large humans. Georgia, Texas battle, USC also in the picture. Iowa, I don't think is going to make the cut here. It's going to be Texas or Georgia. I think he may shut down visits after this week, weekend, and then we'll see how quickly Nick Brooks makes a decision. I do think John Mills, the decision could come here by the end of June, if not before, maybe wait until early July. All right, defensive line, CJ. I'll hit D-line, and then I'll lead you into the edge position, but D-line, Kevin Wynn, he was one of the later arrivals off the plane today, was in with his mom and a cousin from Greensboro, Georgia, over about 40 miles south of Athens. This is his first time in Austin. So this could be an overwhelming experience in a good way or bad way. I guess we'll have to see with that, because all the other places he's considering, Florida State, Georgia, and South Carolina, are a little bit smaller environments for a country, small-town kid from Georgia. So we'll have to see, but I think he has a really good relationship with Kevin, with Kenny Baker. And culinary, what can Texas show him? His goal is to be a chef when he's done playing football one day, hopefully in the NFL, as he says. What can Texas show him this weekend that maybe could push that over the top for Texas, that we're thinking football, you think football in these recruiting visits, but I think that's going to be big. Brandon Brown, CJ, I'd seen Brandon Brown a few times. This is your first time to see Brandon Brown in person. Did he look too short or too small?
No, not at all. Jerry, I saw him most recently this spring, his first trip to Austin, where it looked to me like he would be able to fit in right away on the SEC defensive line. See him again today, I was like, okay, he looks a little bit bigger. He looks like he's been working in that spring weight room. To me, there's no question whether or not the height's going to be an issue, because you see the tape and then you see him in person, and everything adds up to being a guy that will maintain his disruption regardless of how tall or not he is. That's not a conversation I'm having right now. Yeah. I know that won't be an issue.
the big news that On Texas Football broke today in regard to Brandon Brown was, you know, we were sitting there talking to Brandon, his mom, and his older sister, and I asked a question. I said, so Miami next weekend is, and mom just kind of, nope, he changed again. And Brandon said Oklahoma. So we broke that news at OnTexasFootballOn.com and CJ on the live stream. Brandon Brown's not visiting USC as originally playing next weekend. Not visiting Miami, what he switched it to. He's going to visit arch rival Oklahoma next weekend, which A&M tried to get him that weekend too. So he bypassed USC, Miami, and Texas A&M for Oklahoma. And what else does that tell you? Like we've been saying, he's going to play in the SEC. That USC hype after the visit was just that. His circle got that slowed down. He's going to play in the SEC. Unless Oklahoma does something miraculous, this is still expected to come down to Texas and LSU. Texas fans, I'm not sure it's time to get Dominic Williams PTSD because we're talking Texas, Oklahoma, and LSU as the three schools, because I don't think Tennessee is going to be the pick. Those three schools, but it's interesting that Oklahoma secured that final visit in his recruitment with the decision going to come early in July per Brandon today. And the decision, yes, he remains committed to Texas. And he did say, CJ, I don't know if you heard him say this, if I have a decision to make, it would be early July.
I did catch up on that. And one thing about Oklahoma is I was, you know, talking with a few sources up there and, you know, kind of getting an idea of where Brandon Brown and the Oklahoma team was coming from. They were a bit surprised that that official visit was in fact scheduled. So whether or not it's something seriously to look out for Texas, of course, bringing back up Dominic Williams, I'm sure wasn't something a lot of Texas fans were hoping to hear in a defensive line recruiting here, Jerry. But listen, I think Oklahoma has some work to do. To your point, Texas LSU out front above anybody else. But it is interesting that it is going to be Oklahoma who gets that final visit in the month of June compared to a Miami back home or anybody else along the roads of that. And luckily for Texas, it's not Texas A&M.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. The day I was at E-Galley in spring and May, A&M had both D-line coaches there. They were making as big a run as they could at Brandon Brown and had been in Oklahoma. With Todd Bates had been making a run as well for a long time. They've been through the school multiple times. All right, Edge, everybody's seen the picture of Lance Jackson. Looks like a five-star, runs like a five-star, throws off the mound like a football five-star. I'll say that. So he's in the house. He was in early this morning for some to watch the Texas team work out. And then there's Smith Orogbo, who it'll be interesting there. Had a great visit to Texas Tech. He's coming on this visit by himself. Neither parent can make it. His dad couldn't make it. They had work. And, look, that's interesting to me. I don't know if that's very bad news for Texas because the parents have been on campus before. His father's been on campus before. Father's more academic-minded, doesn't really care about football at all. Smith Orogbo cares about the football piece to this. But you can't say that's a real positive sign that he came alone on an official visit. That I don't think Texas is looking at saying, hey, man, this is awesome. But we'll see what happens. So this is a different recruitment now. It's a very different recruitment. His father could have got all the questions he wanted answered when Jeff Banks and Pete Kwiatkowski stopped by the school in May and had a conversation with Smith and his father, of which football came up zero times. And he's scheduled to be at Oklahoma next weekend as well. CJ, Marco Jones in the house. And I know you got a chance to take that photo of Marco Jones, talk to Marco Jones, talk baseball with him a little bit. What were your takeaways from Marcus Jones at Bergstrom Airport? Other than his dad looks like he could tackle both of us and put us on the 60-day disabled list.
Yeah, he might be throwing me down the luggage conveyor belt at the end of the day. He's a big dude as well. I see where the size comes from. Of course, if you watch the tape for Marco Jones, you see a great athlete. He plays a lot of middle linebacker in high school, and I think that kind of might slow things down in terms of what his true projection will be at the next level. But then, again, you see him in person. You see the size. You see the lengths with the arms. And you think, oh, yeah, him rushing – the quarterback is exactly where you want him to be as well. He's actually headed back Sunday afternoon to go play right away in a baseball tournament out in Irvine. So busy weekend for him as well. He's a big baseball kid on the diamond. Interestingly enough, so is Lance Jackson. And so there's already a bit of a connection there for the two of them on the diamond. I'm sure they'll be picking it up, kind of chatting as well this weekend about that. Jerry, I wanted to ask you this because we've kind of discussed what's going on in the edge room. It's going to be a big opportunity for Texas to maybe silence that momentum for Texas Tech with Smith Arogo. Might be a little bit challenging with just him on campus. But with the way that Lance Jackson was looking this morning, that photo that you posted of him and Steve Sarkisian, does that lessen the pressure knowing that you already have what looks to be like a five-star guy at the edge position right now, and plus what Javion Hilson said a week ago?
Yeah, I think so. And look, here's the thing about Lance Jackson that's so intriguing too. But yes, I totally agree with you, CJ. I think having Lance Jackson in the fold, you would like to think out of Javion Hilson, Marco Jones, Smith Arogo, you get one of those guys and have a quality two-man class. The interesting thing with Lance Jackson is he going to end up being the 6'6", 285-pound end that you just spin in the inside on third downs? Because he is that, he's going to be that size and that level athlete. I think he's about to bring a lot of versatility to the edge position that Texas may not even have right now in terms of a guy that's going to have frame potential to play inside on third downs legitimately and not really have to worry about being too small. Lance Jackson has a ton of upside. But to your point, CJ, yeah, Texas in a great spot at edge. They have one of the top prospects in the country. And then you have three, four stars that are all ranked the top 200 players in the country that are coming, that have been in, coming in for official visits. So I think Texas is in good shape at edge in this class. All right, linebacker, Jonathan Cunningham, since we started taping, said he is in town. So Jonathan Cunningham from North Crowley's here. But and he's a guy that's interesting. He's been to Utah, been to Arizona State. He has Kansas next weekend. He's been to TCU. SMU's right there with him. He's a guy that Johnny Nansen liked because of the length. He liked him at Arizona before he got to Texas, the length, the instincts, just the way he kind of flows to the football, kind of like Leonga Lafau, maybe with a little more just outright speed, closing speed. But the eyes, CJ, this weekend are on Riley Pettishon. You went up to see Riley at the spring game. Look, he's visited Ohio State and he's visited USC, but everything we're hearing right now is that A&M visit next weekend. This thing may end up coming down to Texas and Texas A&M, so a huge weekend for the Horns to hold, maybe extend their lead, and maybe quiet some of that momentum A&M's going to try to grab next weekend in a big way.
Yeah, of course. A&M's going the family route, of course. They had two of his cousins at McKinney, a 2027 linebacker and 2026 linebacker on campus June 4th for one of their early June camp days this month. So they're going that route. And I think Texas would be smart to at least involve them in discussions as well, because it struck a chord with the Pettijohns and able to at least envision a possibility of the trio all playing together or at least being recruited all together. So for Riley, I got to see him his spring game. Texas was, I would say, out front as the leader at that time. This weekend, next weekend, of course, going to be very instrumental in where, in which direction this recruitment ends up going. And Jonathan Cunningham's a very interesting one to me as well, Jerry. I was told earlier this spring that, hey, Texas might be perceived as the leader at the time, but with the way that things are going now and with who Texas is recruiting at the moment, it's not a slam dunk for Jonathan Cunningham to end up as a Longhorn. I think Texas was maybe turning over a few more rocks at the linebacker position nationally, and I think Jonathan Cunningham kind of took a note of that and started saying, all right, let me go to a place where I'm number one or at least a little bit higher up on a board. Utah made a great impression a week ago. So there might be a little bit of some work to do on that one as well at the linebacker position. But you also got to welcome a 2025 cornerback for this weekend, the only one for this weekend out of California.
Yeah, our final known official visitor this weekend is Tristan Castro, the 6'1", 6'2 corner out of Upland, California. He's a USC commitment. He's been committed since April. He arrived on campus or flew in this afternoon with his mom and a sibling. So, again, you know, a couple of those USC guys have canceled visits. Tristan Castro did not. He is here. Obviously, Johnny Nansen has a connection there, has been recruiting him for a long time at Arizona as well. So that's a Johnny Nansen special coming out of California as the Horns recruit more and more in the state of California. So Tristan Castro is kind of a wild card. We don't really know what to expect on this recruitment other than he's here. So that's a legitimate interest we do believe. We don't think Texas would just be bringing them in for a trip. And they're past that in the conversations. This is a recruitment that Texas feels like they have a chance to make a dent on with his mom and then with a family member as well. CJ, so let's kind of let people know before we get out of here this evening. So they had the Texas experience this evening. They had some position meetings, about three. Then they had the total Texas package experience around five today, where Chris Del Conte, Mike Hartzell, a lot of the Texas higher-ups, so to speak, along with Steve Sarkisian, the staff, kind of the welcome and all about the University of Texas. Then they have the photo shoot. Then they have dinner tonight. So, and then big day tomorrow, CJ, which we'll be talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is the big weekend, you know, the first of two big weekends that we've been talking about for the Texas Longhorns for the month of June with these official visitors. This is when you should really start seeing some momentum being built into the month of July. Of course, a number of these guys will also be headed out elsewhere for the June 21st through 23rd weekend. But to have three commits in the class on campus this weekend, to be able to build a little bit of bigger relationships with the guys on campus, some top targets. All eyes obviously going to be on the Corian Moore. It's a great weekend opportunity for this staff to really get the thing going. And I know a lot of folks are wondering when those first highs will be coming out, Jerry. But above anything else, Texas will have a great opportunity to make some great headway with guys like DeCorian Moore, Riley Pettijohn, Kevin Wynn, and, of course, Nick Brooks. So a number of big-time targets on campus. The Longhorns have the cars and Lamborghinis and everything you want out front of Moncrief at the moment. So they're going to roll out the dice, roll out the red carpet, and, you know, I'll be eager to see what comes of it and eager to see what kind of returns we get Sunday as these guys head back home following their official visits.
And CJ and I'll have more throughout the weekend on Saturday. The kids have a full day, which includes Top Golf in the afternoon, yep, as they always do as far as the official visits. And CJ and I'll also be at the Cole Pittman Memorial Golf Tournament tomorrow as well. But if, again, we can't, everything we report can't come out on the videos because we're not live all the time. Go check out our official visitors weekend live thread on TexasFootball.com. Not a better time to become an On Texas Football OG. Only $39.95 for an annual subscription. You save $20 if you use the code OTFOG over at OnTexasFootball.com. Ask away the questions. We have a live thread. We post a lot in that throughout the weekend. So thank you very much for listening to us all the time. We're closing on 51,000 subscribers. It's been amazing growth. Thank you to all for that. This website's growing as well. So thank you very much to everybody. And CJ and I'll be back tomorrow a couple of times to keep you updated on the official visit weekend.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. And, of course, check out Rod Babers breaking down the tape of five-star wide receiver Corian Moore out of Duncanville on campus this weekend.
It's a great point by CJ. We're going to leave you with a little special thing. Rod Babers on Corian Moore. All right, guys, hook them.
Hey, what's up, folks? Welcome back to On Texas Football. I'm Lifetime Longhorn Rod Babers. Ready to give you my eval of DeCorian Moore. Now, some guys, you watch film on them, and it's just fun watching film on some of these guys. And DeCorian Moore is one of those players, man. You start having a lot of fun. You get giddy watching his film. My comp form comparison, some cross between, you know, a Joey Galloway and an Odell Beckham Jr., somewhere in that category, maybe somewhere in between those two. This is a guy with world-class speed, and it tracks but also translates to the field. And you can see it right there, man. This guy can separate. The reason I see the Joey Galloway in his game is because of the acceleration. I remember watching Joey Galloway as a young player, and he would just accelerate and separate from defenders, either with the ball in the air as a route runner or even with the ball in his hands as a ball carrier. And you can see that in DeCorian Moore's game. I mean, what I love about him, naturally stacks defensive backs. And what do you mean by stacking a DB? Get on top of them. When you're running a route vertically down the field, you want to get on top of that DB so that your quarterback has kind of a wide range to throw the football. You can throw it over the outside shoulder, throw it over the inside shoulder, and you give them more margin for error where you can stack those DBs, get on top of them. With his world-class speed, and he stacks DBs quick, gets even with them, gets on top of them, and then separates from them. That's what I love about him. Also, he's got great body control. control for a wide receiver. You can see him make contested catches. I mean, he's a quarterback's best friend because he makes your job easy. You really can't overthrow him because he's got the world-class speed. If you underthrow him, does a great job adjusting to the football with body control. There you go, in the scramble drill. He also can make the contested catches. So if he's throwing it up for grabs, 50-50 balls, he's got an ability to turn a 50-50 ball into a 70-30 ball. As a defensive back, I can tell you, number one, why I would have nightmares about covering DeCorian Moore is because he eats up your cushion. So if I'm playing off, you know, I feel like I have a little bit, you know, I feel a little bit more confident, and I have that cushion so that I can read the three-step and I don't have to overreact to any underneath fake or any, you know, any stem by the wide receiver initially. But when you got a guy that can move at the speed that he can, and he eats up your cushion and gets on top of you so quick, he's just trying to get you to turn your hips. And with a wide receiver with that kind of world-class speed, you're going to be thinking about covering the deep route, covering the nine route. So he can, you're going to open your hips a lot quicker. And that makes it almost too easy for him to run the underneath routes, to run the curl routes, to run the inside breaking routes. And if you play him bump and run, well, and then it makes it too hard on you because he's got world-class speed and acceleration. And all you got to do is have one false step, you know, open your hips the wrong way, bad hand placement, just one mistake, your margin of error shrinks considerably because of the kind of game-breaking speed he has. And that's what he is. He's a game-breaker, right? There are certain guys who move the chains, certain guys who change the game. He is a guy that changes the game. He is a game-breaking presence at wide receiver. And that's something also that you've got to love about him. He makes a lot of big plays, whether as a guy who got yak ability, yards after the catch, as you can see right here, or someone who can just take the top off of a defense. He's great at setting up DBs. Like I said, you can see that when they're playing off coverage on him. He's great at setting him up, getting those guys to get on to play on their heels, pretty much is what they do a lot of them. And I think ultimately, you know, he's not even a refined route runner just yet. I mean, I think that's also going to be another part of this game that's going to go to the level when he learns to be a more refined, nuanced route runner. But as the track times translate, he's a 10-400 meter guy, 21-5, 21-3, 200 meters. I mean, he can go. And if you're looking at that location acceleration, he can almost hit a different gear at times. Once the ball is thrown, you can see him at times. He'll be running with a defensive back, and you'll think, hey, DB's got decent coverage, and yet he will he'll separate, hit another gear, leave that defensive back right in his dust once he locates the ball in the air. I call it location acceleration because it's happened to me as a defensive back, and I got to say, it's horrifying. When you think you're running full speed, you're like, hey, we're both running full speed, and then that guy hits a different gear that you don't have. Oh, it is terrifying, and that's what DeCorian Moore can present to you. So really, there is nothing about his game that, in my opinion, doesn't translate to Sark's offense. Sark's offense is extremely wide receiver friendly. You look at catch separation. Sark's offense is basically schemed open throws, the amount of separation wide receivers have when they catch the football. Sark's offense leads to Power 5 in catch separation. It's also a top 10 offense when it comes to yak yards, yards after the catch, and he is perfect for that Sark offense. So in a lot of ways, DeCorian Moore, you can argue that in Sark's offense, if he's a wide receiver and he's looking at which offensive systems, all right, would help me achieve my ultimate potential, there's not a lot of offense out there. Maybe, you know, Ohio State's in that category too for what they've done, but not a lot of offenses that can weaponize him the way Sark's offense can. So there's my breakdown and eval on DeCorian Moore.